Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor for your goodness and your mercy. We appreciate your faithfulness. We thank you for a day like this. Thank you for causing us to live in you, to move in you, and to have our being in you. We ask today that not one person will leave here the same way. Speak to us in words that we'll hear. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here this last midweek service for the month of October. And we're going to be listening to a message that may be the last midweek service for the month, but not the least. I'm speaking on the bedrock of character. Now, the love life dash the bedrock of character. How the love life is the bedrock of character. Romans chapter 13 and in verse 10, it said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. I think the sound can be better. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Our objective is understanding the power of love in character, the power of love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So love is the fulfilling of the law. By way of introduction, there are certain fundamental things that we should understand about love. Number one, God is love. That is, the nature of God is the nature of love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So God is love. Number two, love created the earth. Love created the earth. If God is love, Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1 said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We can actually say in the beginning love created the heaven and the earth. So love created the earth, since God is love. Number 3, love created man. Apart from God being love, God created man with love. If it doesn't sound tautological, love created man with love. Why do I say so? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Let us make man. That is, let us share ourselves We are God. That's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But it's a let us. Let us have a creature we can share our nature with. That is love. Let's have a being we can share our nature with. Shares our ability with. Am I communicating at all? That is love. So love created man. Man was created by love, through love. Number four, the earth and man's life will only run successfully on love. You know the way cars run on fuel, big trucks run on diesel. The earth and man's life will only run successfully on love. We read in Romans 13 verse 10, it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the life is run on the law of love. You know, when you talk about law, you are talking of principle. You are talking of guideline. When you get a piece of computer, they give you guideline. If you want this thing to run well, this is how to run it. When you get even an airplane, this is how to run it. So God showed us how to run our lives and run the earth. It will run well if it runs on love. The reason why the earth is malfunctioning and most people's lives are malfunctioning is because life is not being run on love. Am I communicating? Everywhere is quiet. Am I communicating? All right, let's go. Number four. Number five. Walking in love. Walking. Or living in love. Is living in godly character. If God is love, then walking in love and living in love is living in the character of God. It's living in godly character. Walking in love, walking or living in love is living in godly character. You won't struggle to be like God if you walk in love, if you live in love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. These are facts we must know. Number six, the bankruptcy of love is the bankruptcy of character. The bankruptcy of love is the bankruptcy of character. Another way to say it is, lovelessness is characterlessness. Where people are loveless, they are characterless. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to verse 10, we saw how love, say, oh no man, nothing, this is the commandment, don't steal, don't kill, and so forth. Love does not hurt his neighbor, and love is the fear of the law. The bankruptcy of love is the bankruptcy. The stealing will happen. The cheating will happen. The lying will happen. The fraud will happen. The killing will happen. And all the things that are wrong will happen where love is absent. Lovelessness is characterlessness. Number seven, the walk of love brings out the best of man. Brings out the best from man. And the lack of love brings out the worst of man. The walk of love. If you want to see the best of a person, you see their best when they walk in love. The worst of man comes out. where there is the lack of love. Hi. What is it that makes a hired killer a killer? Maybe when he was growing up, he looked very gentle. Until suddenly, they realized that this guy has killer potential inside and actually became a killer because of the bankruptcy of love. What will make a man almost kill his wife? I will kill you today. I will kill you today. Pull the hair. I will kill you today. I will pull this hair off his root. When love is absent, people may behave worse than animals. Worse than, even almost worse than the devil, if possible. Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 6 to verse 8, we saw what became of Cain. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? That is, love is gone. Why are you rough? Why is your countenance falling? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying at the door. But it shall be under your control if you want. But he didn't want. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. That's the worst came out of Cain. Anybody who is not near God and who does not have love, flee from them. Flee. And we're going to be looking at the definition of what love is all about. If you want the world to see your best, walk in love. If you want the world to see your worst, walk without love. And number 8, we said it again, but want to repeat it for retention. Love is the nature of God, and hate is the nature of the devil. I'm continuing. Love is the nature of God. Hate is the nature of the devil. 1 John chapter 1. All right, let me end the statement first. Love will cause you to end your journey with God, and hate will cause you to end your journey with the devil. Love will cause man to end his journey with God, and hate will cause you to end your journey with the devil, wherever the devil ends, in hellfire. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. He said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We'll look at that later. But the love life, the nature of God is love. The nature of the devil. He said, the thief come not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. That is, the nature of the devil is hate, steal, kill. You have never seen a loving arm robber before. You won't. A love-filled thief, no. John chapter 8, verse 44, talking to the Jews, he said, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That is Satan the devil. And he abode not in the truth. Hallelujah. So, if we are going to walk in godly character, we must walk in love. Now, what is love? What is love about? Please take this definition serious. Number one, love is living and acting with the interest and welfare of others at heart. You are living and you are acting with the interest and the welfare of others in mind. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. While you live your life, what bothers others is of interest to you. How your actions affect others is of interest to you. You are interested in the welfare of people. You are interested in their interests. He said, don't look only on your own things, but on the things of others. Summary, how your action affect others matter to you. It matters to you. It matters to you. It matters to you. Number two, love is living with a kind and good disposition towards others. Kind and good disposition. You are kindly disposed. You are goodly disposed. It's love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4, the Bible said, charity which is love, suffereth long, and it is kind. Every loving person is a good person. Every loving person is a kind person. Where love is absent, kindness is absent. The loveless are wicked. Am I communicating at all? We need to hear this kind of thing in this generation and in this age. There are people who are permanently bitter and angry. Disposition towards people is bad. Somebody wants to get married and they are angry. Why? Why is it not themselves? Somebody is doing well and is getting successful and they are angry. And these people don't go anywhere. A loving person is a good person. He's a good man. He's a good woman. Loveless people are bad people. They are bad. They are cruel. They are unkind. They are unfriendly. The way they talk to you is unkind. The way they respond to you is unkind, unfriendly. Love makes you a pleasant personality, pleasantly disposed. Amicable. And please don't play with lovelessness, because it is playing with eternal hellfire. We'll come to that shortly. Because when we say love, we need to know it in practical terms. You are a good person. You are a kind person. Young girl testified how her father drove her mother out and says that none of them should go near their mother. Otherwise, it has nothing to do with them school-wise or anywise. And she said, no, my mother did not do anything to me. I have to go with her. And they suffered from a thatched house. But she persevered and gave and got a first class in accountancy. She stands here to give a testimony. And somebody's heart was moved. And say, you can get a first class from this kind of house. God has changed your house and your mother's house. Hatred does not do that. The nature of God does that. The character of God does that. And we say things like this because examples is what communicate principles. Living in love is having a good disposition. You are kind, you are good towards others. Number three, Love is releasing, is the release of goodwill and positive thoughts towards others. Goodwill, positive thoughts. You know what that means? The release of goodwill means you wish people well. You wish people well. You wish them well. You want them to do well. You wish people well. You want people to do well. You wish them well. You don't wish them bad. You don't wish them evil. That was what God demonstrated when he sent Jesus to come to the earth to die for us. In Luke chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Jesus came by the love of God to release goodwill towards men. We are to release goodwill towards others. Have you seen people who permanently wish others evil? Just, well, let's see how far they will go with this marriage. When we came into ministry, there are people who concluded already. I don't know what gives them the audacity to think like that. Say small children, church. It's only in this country where a person will be trained as a medical doctor and you hand over a whole human being to him to handle, and he's still a child, even if he's 20-something years old. At the age of 21, 22, a fresh graduate from the Nigerian Defense Academy is already a commander of troops and men in his early 20s and can cause devastation to the enemy if they present themselves. Are you following what I'm saying here today? There are people who don't give you the benefit of the doubt. They don't even want to know whether you will succeed or fail. They conclude you won't make it. That's hatred. That's the generation we live in. But when you are, and one thing is, whatever you sow is what you reap. If you wish people well, no devil can say you should end evil. Goodwill. Your goodwill is released towards your colleagues, your age mates, contemporaries, those who may consider themselves as your competitors. You wish them well. Number four, love is doing to others. Doing and being to others. What you expect others to be and do to you. Love is doing and being to others what you expect others to do and be to you. Matthew 7 and verse 12. It says, what since therefore all things whatsoever you would that men do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Anything you want people to do to you, do to them. Meaning of this is, love is practically putting yourself in the shoes of others. Do you want to arrive somewhere for the first time? And you are asking questions for direction. And somebody tells you, I don't know, just go and find your way. Do you want that to be done to you? So in the same manner, when you see somebody for the first time missing road, you can then calm down and help a little. Do you want somebody to carry your character and be tearing it in pieces at your back? In the same manner, when they bring somebody's character to you to tear it, tell them, you devil, find another devil to do this with. Find another devil to do this with. Anything you want people to do to you,
do to them?
Do you want somebody to fail your child in school because they didn't bribe you for handout, or they didn't mess themselves up with you in sin? If you don't want anybody to fail your child or your brother or your relation, don't fail anybody's child or relation. Anything, however, if this world can be lived like that, however you want to be treated, treat others. However you want to be handled, handle others. Let your life become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Begin to sow the things you expect to reap in the lives of others. That is called love. When you do that, 99.999% of the time you will do the right thing. What is love? Number five. Love is enhancing the worth and value of others in every way possible. Enhancing the worth and value of others in every way possible. Enhancing the worth and value of others mean being a blessing to the people you come across in every way possible. Enhancing the worth and the value of others in every way possible. Enhancing the worth and the value of others in every way possible. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 2, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. I will bless you and make thy name great and you shall be a blessing. Enhancing the worth and the value. That is, somebody's life was upgraded because they came in touch with you. Somebody feels better about themselves because they came in contact with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Enhancing the worth. There are those who destroy the worth of others. They destroy the value of others. They devalue others. Let me tell you something. So somebody just stepped out of church and then stood outside here and took a snapshot of himself or herself and posted it on her Facebook page. Praise the Lord, we just finished service. Underneath in comment, a comment that could be expected, oh wow, you look so sharp out of service. The message must have been powerful. That's a good comment, that's complimentary. But in this generation, you will be shocked to see that somebody is like, you are not even fine. The dress is not fine, Seth. What are you posing about? Sea leg like crayfish. That is the generation. It's such a terrible, wicked. This internet generation is a demonic generation. Demonic. Satanic. I think it's literally Satanists that run it. Some of those words. Satanist. You can't find any good thing to say to a person. It's not even asking for your comment. He just posted her thing or his thing to celebrate himself. It became an offense. You are angry. How many of you have seen the kind of thing I'm talking about before? It's a hate-filled generation where people are busy destroying the worth of people, destroying the value of people. Somebody has brings me an album, a single that they sang or something, and I listen to it. Maybe in some ways, it wasn't as it should be. Maybe there were some ways the person did, but wasn't as accurate as it should be. Do you know what some people say? It's very bad. Please don't release it. It's very, very bad. Don't even bother singing. Are you sure you should be singing? That is what some demonic voice will tell some people. Completely destroy the person's worth, the person's sense of value. I thought that the best thing you would have said is, this is a great attempt. Because how many people took the time to sing or go to the studio or do anything? This is a very great attempt. Very, very great. And you know, like we say in this world, there is room for improvement. And the room for improvement is very, very large. But congratulations for this one. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then when the person is now open and has become very, very excited with what you have said and feels great about themselves, you can just say, I'd like to share one or two observations that can make the next project a higher level than this one. That's how life should be. Let somebody feel better about themselves because they came in contact with you than to feel worse about themselves because they came to you. There are people who destroy the worth, the value, the dignity of others. That's love, is enhancing the value. It's enhancing the worth, the dignity. In love, you are generous with commendation, stingy with condemnation, but very, very liberal with commendation. You are quick to notice what to commend. But we have a world today where people are quick to notice what to condemn. When you did the right thing, they kept quiet. But the moment you did the wrong thing, they will be on and on and on and on it. Love. Is anybody get anything here at all? This is not the kind of preaching to jump and scream and shout. Is that right? Number six. Love. So, in love, you are a blessing to your generation, not a burden, not a minus, a plus. Number six, love is contributing to the joy. And the joy, smile, and fulfillment of others. You contribute to the joy. You contribute to the smile. You contribute to the fulfillment of others. Not the pain. Yes, it's complete statement. But not the pains or tears or frustration of others. Your life occasions joy. Your life occasions smiles. Your life occasions fulfillment. Not pain. Not tears. Not frustration. That was how Joseph was in the prison. Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 to 8. Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and they were sad. He had to do something about his sadness. Someone say amen. In this world, there are people who come in around your life, joy arrived, smiles arrive. Fulfillment arrived. Can you say that of an armed robber? The other day, fine young lady, doing well, just died like that, from the story building down, in the hands of wicked killers. Thank God they have been apprehended. Oh. When God arrives, people jubilate. When some of these devils arrive, people lock their door and pray and trust in God that they shouldn't break into their door. Devils in human flesh, taking what they never kept. All manner of inconvenience. And that is the extreme level. There are lower levels of that. Lower levels. Love makes you to contribute to the joy, the smile of others. Please, never be a part of anybody's tears. Am I communicating? I mean, consciously, deliberately, intentionally. Never be a part of anybody's pain, anybody's tears, anybody's frustration. Consciously, intentionally, deliberately. And never be where anybody is being destroyed. Whether they are killing with a knife, like Paul the Apostle was gathering the cloth of those, watching the cloth of those who were stoning Stephen. He was not part of those stoning, but he was keeping the cloth of those stoning. He repented later, but they stoned him too later. He needed to feel what it means to be stoned. Am I communicating? You are not part of those stoning, but you are among those keeping the cloth of those stoning. Don't do it. Don't be a part of anywhere where they brought a human being as a topic. And we live in a generation where people have no, at times they have no topic for their life. Another person is their topic. We have a lot of jobless people online like that. They have nothing to do with their life. They are waiting for the next person to be discussed. Don't be a part of it. Face your life. There is so much more to do with your life. So much more to do with destiny. And like I said earlier on, if a devil comes to you, identify it as a devil and say, look for another devil. I am not in this class. I have so much to do with my life. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. Love. In love, whether people are present or absent, their value is the same in your eyes. Can I say that again? They are present, they are absent. Their value is the same in your eyes. You won't attack your fellow worker in church and say, look at your ugly dress. Neither will you discuss the ugliness of the dress behind. Do you understand? Because it is easy not to confront them in their front. And very, very easy to do it where they are not. Love. Love. It's why this world is the way it is today. Why a child today can consider his own mother as a project for ritual killing. His own brother, his own relation, to go make money. Huh? Yes, and who will see he spend the money for? No, he doesn't need a mother. No, you know, as pastors, we see all manner of things. It's as far back as almost 20 years ago. You remember, this man met me in the office with eyes as red, redder than this carpet. Say he came for counseling. I said, what is that? What about? Say he's a bad person. I said, really? So what happened? He said he killed his mother. I said, for what? He said, for ritual purpose. That he said he will make money. I don't want to give you the details. Horrible. So, where's the money now? You say that is why I'm here. Nothing happened. Mother is gone. No money. Eyes red like the earth. The counsel I gave him on how to deliver him and help him could not be followed. He disappeared. I haven't seen him from that day till tomorrow. That's the kind of... No, if the money had come, he wouldn't have come to ask for anything. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul. And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I want us to learn these things and put it into practice. You will see how exciting your life will be. How exciting, how fulfilling, how resultful your life will be. How at peace you will be. How much anointing you will walk in when human beings are not your topic. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord as we begin to round off. What is love about? Contributing numbers. Was that number six? Number seven. Love is living with a conscience that is void of offense towards God and man. Void of offense. In the life of love, you do your best not to offend God, not to offend man. Void of offense. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul the apostle said, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." You do all your best to ensure that you are not a pain to God and a pain to man. And this becomes your continuous prayer. Lord, help me not to be a pain to you, not to be a pain to people. Where I have unconsciously or consciously been a pain to you or man, I ask for mercy. Finally, number eight. Love is living beyond self. Living beyond self. The absence of love is a selfish life where somebody lives just for themselves. The man ate pepper soup on his way from work. Ishew joint, Nkwobi, goat head pepper soup, cow leg. And he comes home, wife has not eaten dinner, children have not eaten, it doesn't matter. He has settled himself from outside. What a life. I don't know how food can be comfortable in the mouth of a man whose wife and children are at home. I don't know how food can be comfortable in his mouth in their absence on a consistent basis. I don't know how it is possible. At a point in our house, we had almost 30 people that would be fed at times. And when they say, food is ready, I said, have people eaten? Have everybody eaten? They said, they will serve them later. I said, so how do you expect me to taste it if they haven't eaten? To me, it almost feels oppressive. Because you are the big man, let's serve you first. Everybody can wait on, let them be hungry. No, let me eat last if possible. Even on the aircraft. Come to you, say, what will you say? I say, serve the people. And I'll be very angry if they insist otherwise. It is not an action. The food has no taste. While others are, I can't eat it. While others are seated. How? Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is not a point of anything. It's reality. You come to the point where the welfare of others is heavy to you. It's heavy. Praise the Lord. That love that we are talking about makes you to live that life. Mark chapter 12, let's look at that. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That is, you are not living just for yourself. You don't want to get your advantage and the other person got a disadvantage. You don't want to make yourself happy even if the others is hurting from your happiness. No. It's living beyond yourself. Nothing that you get that is at the expense of another's joy is worth getting. Did you hear what I said? Nothing that you get that is at the expense of another's joy, nothing you achieve that is at the expense of another's peace and joy is worth it. It was an error. Finally, what is the benefit or the impact of the life of love? When we live in love, what is the impact of it on our lives? Number one, living in love is living in the nature and character of God. We already said that. It's living in the nature and character of God. So, by the time you are living in love, you are living in that nature, that character, godliness. 1 John 4 and in verse 8. It's living in the nature and character of God. Number two, living in love is living in the nature and character of God. Number two, living in love is living in the supernatural power and ability of God. You activate supernatural power and ability. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 6 says, love is as strong as death. Songs of Solomon rather, 8:6. Love has the same power. It has power to confront death. Matthew chapter 14 verse 14. Bible says, and Jesus moved with compassion, he healed them. Jesus went for so great multitude and was moved with compassion, with raw practical love. He healed their sick. He was moved. Love causes you to live in the supernatural power and ability of God. Power flows for the heart that loves. Number three, living in love is living and operating in supernatural faith. Living and operating in supernatural faith. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. Living and operating in supernatural faith. That is love. Your faith is unusual. You want to believe God to heal the afflicted because you are so moved that you trust him to heal them. You are so filled with the nature of God, and the nature of God is the nature that believes everything. And you trust God for almost the impossible. Number four, living in love is accessing your possessions and your future. Living in love is accessing your possession and your future. Love will take you into your possession. Love will take you into your future. That was what happened to Joseph. Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 to verse 8. When he loved the butler and the baker and he interpreted their dream, they became the link to his future. They became the link to the palace. They linked him to the palace, to Pharaoh. Just walk in love, live in love. That future God has for you, somebody you touch, somebody you change, he will take you there. One man I heard was trying to make a call at the airport, and his phone wasn't going through, as if he had a challenge. So he saw somebody there. He said, please, I want to make a call. Can I use your phone, please? The man said, why not? Take the phone. And he made the call. It went one hand with the man's phone. He finished the call. And he said, what do you do? He said, I do software and computer things. He said, oh, really? Can we see later on? Long story made short, a job came for the man who just gave this man his phone in billions. By one act, just one action. I heard the story of a man who helped an elderly man into a plane. And he gave him his complimentary card. What kind of job? What job do you do? He said, I'm a contractor. Which kind of places do you do contract? He mentioned the place and he said, oh, my son is the MD of the place you just mentioned. Showed him this card. Love. Love. Don't bother about making things work by yourself. Work normally in love. Just work naturally. You see, what happened to David? When David was pursuing the Amalekites that came to smite Ziklag, he was pursuing the people who carried his property, but he met a dead man on the road. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 12, 13, 14. He met a dead man in the field. Instead of saying, I'm in a hurry, let me catch these devils first. His people attended to the man. Can you place it on the screen? 1 Samuel chapter 30. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again. For he has not eaten food or drank any water for 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And where are you? And he said, I am the young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite. What? And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. He left me. Just dies. You are just an ordinary servant. We made an invasion upon the south of Cherith. In other words, we were the people that came to attack you, David. And upon the coast we belonged to Judah. And upon the south of Cherith. And we burned Ziklag with fire. All those things they burnt with you, we were the one who did it. David said, what? Can you bring me to this company? He said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or give me to my master, the one who abandoned me because I was sick, and I will take you to him. And when they had brought him down, behold, they said, see, one man hated his servant and left him to die. Another man found a stranger he never knew from anywhere, made him to live. The one who made the stranger to live became the killer of the one who left the stranger to die. That servant helped David to restore the things that were stolen, and that wicked master did not escape his death. The death he wished for his servant, he got it. Please be careful how you treat people. There's something they say in Igbo land. Zi onye mechi. Eh? Onye mechi. What's the meaning of that? Who knows tomorrow? Can't know tomorrow. You can't know tomorrow. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know that the person you think is already dead will wake up soon. Eh? The sickness was so much that he never believed he would recover. And I'm sure David rewarded him. So, just walk in love. It connects you to your future. Connects you to your possessions. Connects you to your restoration. I'm sure that this is one of the best messages somebody has heard this year. If it is happening to you, shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. And when anybody decides to walk away from your life, don't force it. Maybe God is bringing somebody better into your life. Between David and the master who abandoned this man, who is better? Between David and the man who abandoned this other one to die, who is better? 1,000 times. A zillion times. Finally, living in love is escaping hell and accessing heaven at the end of life. Living in love is escaping hell and accessing heaven at the end of our journey. When you live in love, you are actively escaping, because you are not walking in bitterness, you are not walking in unforgiveness, you are not walking in all those things. You are escaping hell. You are accessing heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 15. 1 John 3, 13 to 15. He said, marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He can't have eternal life. If you are a hater, you are also a killer. A hater is a killer. Has no eternal life abiding in him. In the name of Jesus, you shall make it at the end. We shall make it at the end. Say a louder amen. Amen. Say the loud most amen. Amen. Say after me, say, Father, I receive the grace to walk in love. I shall not run my race in vain. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. How many of us received something today? Stand up on your feet. I will never, never stop my journey halfway. Halfway until I reach my home. 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 I will never, never stop my journey halfway. Halfway until. Lift your voice and sing. Until I reach my home.
Until I reach my home.
Oh, Lord.
Until
I reach my home. I will never, never, never stop my journey halfway. Halfway. Up your hands and say after me and say, Father, we just pray two prayers and then do some intercession. Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father, thank you for your word tonight. Be glorified, Lord, for the impact of this word on my life, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray and thank the Lord for the word. Thank you, Father, for the impact of the war. 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 The impact of the war.